All right. This scripture reading this morning will be coming from three portions of scripture in the book of John. The first one will be John chapter 8, verses 29. John chapter 8, verses 29. And I will be reading from the New King James Version. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. And if you would please turn your attention over to John chapter 10, verses 17 through 18. John chapter 10, verses 17 through 18. Therefore, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. And lastly, if you will please turn with me to John chapter 15, verses 9 through 10. John chapter 15, verses 9 through 10. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love.
So thankful to be here on this morning. Thankful for everyone who is here. If you're visiting with us, want to let you know you are indeed our honored guest, and we're thankful for you being here on this morning. You know, I've been thinking a lot about leadership, and we've been talking a lot about leadership from many different vantage points, and I was considering Jesus Christ as it relates to the greatest leader, of course. And the more I was considering him, I was thinking about how he paid attention and how sometimes as people, there are things that causes us to become distracted. Sometimes we are not paying as close attention as we need to as leaders, as husbands, as wives, as business owners, so forth and so on. And I thought about how sometimes those of us who drive, and I know if I'm not careful, I'll receive a text message and I'll just kind of just take a quick glance at it. And I said, you know, Mike, you need to pay a little bit more attention. You need to pay closer attention. And I thought about sometime when I'm reading something, not necessarily only in the scriptures, and never fails, a miss a word, which changes the whole dynamic of what you are trying to comprehend. And being married just a few years, and, you know, wife is saying something, and your mind is over there, and she goes to ask you, did you hear what I said? Yeah, I heard what you said, and like, that's not what I said. All because, really, I wasn't paying close attention. And as leaders in the Lord's church, we have the responsibility of making sure that we pay attention. Jesus did. And I thought about John 8:29 and how Jesus said, I always do those things that please him. And I considered how Jesus did not go about seeking to please himself, Romans 15:3. And I also thought about how Jesus, as he kept his Father's commandments because he loved his Father, but that's because he was paying attention. And I asked myself, what does it mean to truly please? What does it really mean that Jesus truly pleased his Father? His Father told him what to do, gave him a command of what to say, and Jesus not only heard it, but he comprehended it, he understood it, and he did it. Now, I pause because I want you to consider. Because to be a good leader, one must pay attention. To be a good husband, to be a good wife, to be a good child, to be a good brother, a good sister in Christ, a good employer, a good employee, a good citizen. one must pay attention. What happens if you have 100 people on the road and 99 of them are not paying attention? There will be some calamities. There will be accidents. There will be troubles if we're not paying attention. And most of the time when, I'm just going to speak for myself, when I get in trouble, when Mike Bonner gets in trouble, it's because I wasn't paying close attention. When I find myself not thinking properly, sinning, it's because I wasn't paying attention. And so when we consider Jesus and his proper attitude, even when he was a child, 12 years old, and he's talking to those inside of the temple, and he comes out and his mother and father is looking for him. And he said, "Do you not know that I must be about my father's business?" He paid attention. A good leader must pay attention. And because he paid attention to God, God was pleased with his, now watch this, his behavior. Because the commandment of God equaled his behavior. And so when we see Jesus, and why did God raise him from the dead? Romans 1:4 demonstrates that he raised him in holiness, but why? Because Jesus always sought to please his Father. Leon, did you get that? Always. Always sought to please his Father. And so I started making application in my own mind and thinking about it from a leadership perspective and thinking about it being a husband, being a son, being a citizen in San Angelo, Texas. Hold on. I need to pay attention. I need to pay attention on how to be a better husband, how to be a better brother in Christ to my wife, be a better brother in Christ to my brethren. All of us have to be thinking about how do I become better, a better leader is when we pay attention. A better sister in Christ, a better single, a better, you'll get the point that we're making. If we're going to be better, we have to pay attention, which means that we have to eliminate some distractions, which means that we have to be like our Savior, Jesus Christ. God saw his behavior, raised him up. On few occasions, we find Jesus pleasing the Father. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 15, when Jesus was being about to be baptized, and you remember the distraction of John. And John did not want to baptize Jesus, saying, "I need to be baptized of you." But Jesus said, "Suffer it to be so, for it behooveth us to fulfill righteousness." And John baptized him, and God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." On the Mount of Transfiguration, we see the same thing. Jesus transfigures, and he demonstrates his true essence, deity. His glory shone, if you will. It's good for us to be here. Let's build 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him." What does this have to do with paying attention? Our master paid attention to his Father. Friends, we must pay attention, which means that we need to give attention to detail. Details matter. I hear this all the time. The devil's in the details. I hear that all the time. I hear it all the time. And my mind goes into confusion when I hear that. But listen, I hear it all the time. I believe God is in the details. And the reason why is because God was very detailed when he told Adam what he could eat of. And Adam was to translate that message to his wife. And here come the serpent. and he adds one word. God is in the details. Thou shalt not surely die. He lied. Because God said, in the day in which you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. Friends, Jesus paid attention to the Father's will. He understood detail. He paid attention. Now, a pause for you to consider. Because the more I was considering the details, the more I was thinking about, Mike, you need to do better. And so I'm talking to Brother Jerry. We're in the foyer, and he talks about prayer and the things that we pray about earlier in the day. And then you get into the rest of your day and you find yourself doing the very things that are opposite of what you prayed for. And that's dangerous. Those were his words. And I said to myself, wow, he needs to be up here and preach. Because when we pray, when we ask God for wisdom and guidance and instruction, we shouldn't live out something opposite of what we prayed. And Jesus always did those things that pleased him. Look at John 10. Look at verse 17 and 18. Jesus had to go to the cross, an ultimate leader in receiving instruction and commandments from the Father. And he said, going to the cross, laying down my life, was the Father's command. Some people say, well, Jesus didn't have to go to the cross. He didn't have to do it. He had to. The Father said, go to the cross. He had to. Why? If he was going to be pleasing to God, if he was going to pay attention to detail, he had to go to the cross. In life, sometimes there are some things that we just have to do. Will it be easy? Not always. Will it be necessary? Yes. Why? Because we want to please the Father too. So here's the question we ask. As leaders in our homes, even here in the church, is it possible for us to please the Lord? Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. I usually go to Colossians 1, we'll look at verse number 10, and we'll call it a day. But you grow and you learn and you ponder and you think. And now look at verses 9 through 11. You grab some of that context and you see what Paul says by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? Verse 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. Hold on. Can I fully please the Lord? Yes. How? Well, Paul even prayed here. What did he pray? That we be filled with the knowledge of his will. I can please the Lord just knowing the will of God. Submitting my will to his will by paying attention to his will and making the distinction between his will and mine. Sometimes, Sister Braswell, they can get cloudy. They can kind of look the same in our own mind. Well, this has to be the will of God, Dietrich, because I want it. Well, no. God's will and our will are sometimes two different wills. But when we pay attention to God's will, then we can make discernment between what's his and what's ours. And friends, that's difficult at times. But look at the rest of the text. Because he says, being fully pleased or fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. We can go on and on and on in those particular passages. And so sometimes we ask ourselves, why am I not allowing God to guide my life? Why am I not listening to Jesus, the true leader, the ultimate leader, the God man? Why am I not listening to him? Could it be that my will is superseding his right now? My ideas, my emotions, my thought processes, they're superseding his right now. happens. However, Jesus, he focused on the will of his Father. He paid attention to his Father's will. And we know he had a separate will because even in the garden, he said, not my will, but thy will be done, which means that he could have made a different decision, but he didn't. But he didn't. Friends, it's the same for us. But it requires us paying attention. So, why do I find myself as I'm driving a familiar road and I go 4 or 5 miles, 10 miles and be like, did I pass such and such? I must not have been paying attention. That happens all the time. You can drive a familiar road so often that you can pass things and be like, well, I know I haven't passed that yet. I did pass it. It's the same in the home. It's the same with brothers and sisters in the church. And friends, it's the same with our relationship with God sometimes. You can become so familiar with your spouse, so familiar with the brethren, so familiar with God that you stop paying attention. I'm not expecting y'all to like this, but I am expecting y'all to understand because I know you've been there and done that. Amen? You can become so familiar that you stop paying attention. Leaders do it all the time, and that's why things creep in. Leaders do it all the time. That's why they think they're just running everything and nobody else has a say. Leaders in our nation do it all the time. They become so familiar. Friends, there's nothing wrong with being familiar if you're paying attention. But sometimes you can be so familiar you stop paying attention. You stop paying attention to your spouse. You stop paying attention to your children. You stop paying attention to those things that are important because you have become familiar. Jesus was familiar with his Father, yet he remained focused. He paid attention. He paid attention. And so I was thinking, this is interesting. Because when the congregation strives for focus, even in the midst or with distractions, we can still be pleasing unto our Father. And we must and we shall. This is why the local church, the local congregation, the Lord's people must keep edification and evangelism and benevolence in the forefront. Why? Because you can get caught up with all of the distractions of this world. You bring those distractions in here, and the next thing you know, we find ourselves doing everything but the will of God. And just because it looks like the will of God, just because it looks good, doesn't mean that it is the will of God and that it is good. So Evelyn and I was talking the other day, and I said, you know, sometimes you can be doing good and still find yourself distracted. The good that you're doing becomes a distraction. We have to pay attention to the will of God. And so, Jesus laid his life down. And when Jesus laid his life down, the cross was the ultimate example of him doing that. Turn your Bibles to John 12. In John 12, 27 through 33, Jesus, as he is about to go to the cross, this sacrifice that Jesus makes, according to Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2, and especially verse 2, would be a sweet-smelling aroma unto the Father. But in John 12, 27 through 33, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Notice where Jesus' attention was. Notice where his focus was. He said, but for this purpose, this reason, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it say, said that it had thundered. Others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples or men to myself. Notice his focus. Notice Jesus. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men, all people to me. Jesus was focused. He paid attention. He knew I have to go to the cross. I have to be lifted up. I have to die. I'm reminded on one occasion when Peter got in his feelings, if you will, and he did not want Jesus to go to the cross. And Jesus responds, get thee behind me, Satan. Leon, he had to go to the cross. He didn't hold that against Peter. But Peter just wasn't focused. And he even said later on that you are of the things of men. I'm of God. But notice what he goes on to say. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. Friends, did you see that? Jesus was focused. He paid attention. He did not allow the distractions of men, of people, and even situations in his own life to get him off track. Got to pay attention. Got to pay attention. And so I leave you with this. A couple points. Number one, Jesus paid attention to people. In Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through verse number 17, and put this in your notes because I'm not going to go over these today, this morning. Put in your notes Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 7 with Zacchaeus, and John chapter 7, verses 19 through John chapter 8, verse 40, Jesus dealing with the Jews, and I'll make a comment on that here in a minute. But I want to look at Luke 7. I remember when I first came across this passage with understanding, and I remember weeping because of this idea and what took place here. In Luke chapter 7, starting at verse number 11, Jesus paid attention to people. Good leaders must pay attention to people. Fathers, pay good attention to your children. Husbands, pay good attention to your wives. Wives, pay attention to your husbands. Pay attention. Pay attention. Now it happened. The day after that, he went into a city called Nain, or Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out. Now watch this. The only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Wow. Hold on. The only son of his mother, she had no husband. He's dead. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said, do not weep. Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, get up, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people. And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. Notice, he saw this woman. He knew her condition. He said, don't cry, don't weep. And then he told that young man, get up. A couple of weeks back, I told y'all of a story. and it's still true to this day, of how I walked past this young lady and the minister saw her and he said, "Hold on, Mike," and he went and he ministered unto her. And I asked myself, why did I walk by her, but he walked toward her? Y'all stay with me. Stay with me. Because this is hard. It is. It's hard. I know it's hard because people fail. They fail at it all the time, paying attention to people. Because sometimes we're so inward focused, it's hard for us to focus on the out. I got this to do, this to do, this to do. Well, hold on. Even in John chapter 8, when Jesus was on the run from the Jews because they wanted to kill him, because he said, before Abraham was, ego a me, I am. Here he's on the run. He comes across this blind man, stops, helps this blind man. Hold on. You live, we're on the run from something. We're not stopping to help nobody because we're trying to save ourselves. Not Jesus. Mm-mm. I'm paying attention. I know why I'm here. Jesus saw this woman in her condition, a great leader. What does he do? Don't weep. What does he do? Get up. What does he do? He presents him. Wow. I remember when I read that, I'm like, wow. The only son of his mother, and she was a widow. I can hear Brian saying right now, that's right. That's right. You know why? Can you imagine losing your only son? Hold on. The father did. Yes, the father knows. Father knows. He knows exactly what we go through. There's nothing that we go through as humans that the father doesn't know. And this is why leaders have to pay attention. Zacchaeus, another situation. I didn't want, don't really want to deal with the John 7, 19 through John 8, verse number 40, because I'm going to let you think through that one. Because in that, we find Jesus as he is dealing with his hostile enemies. They sought to kill him. Yet he still found himself in a position to want to pay attention. But in this particular case, he paid attention to his enemies. We got to pay attention as Christians, to those who are walking contrary to the will of God. I'm not talking about those who are in sin and those who are striving to come to the gospel and want to learn more about the church and righteousness and holiness and so forth and so on. But I'm talking about those who are antagonistic to the will of God. We better pay attention. Everybody doesn't have the Christian's best interest at heart. And so I heard one brother say one time that he walks around with his head on a swivel. Head on a swivel. That's smart. And then I thought about the spiritual concept. Satan is as a roaring lion. Leaders got to have their head on a swivel. You have a family? You the man, have your head on a swivel. Your children start getting to that age where they want to have little friends, boys or girls. You better have your head on a swivel. Better have your head on a swivel. You better know what's going on. Because if you don't, you're not paying attention. Just the other day at the gym, this guy was telling me that this young boy committed suicide and it was AI that gave him all of the directions on how to do it. I said, "You kidding me?" He said, "Go look it up." I didn't even look it up. I didn't want to see it. But gave him every single instruction. And I asked him the question, where was the parents? You better have your head on a swivel. You better know what's going on around you. Because if you don't, you'll hurt. Know what's going on. Point two, Jesus paid attention in prayer. Jesus paid attention in prayer. He prayed about serious matters, Matthew 26, 36 through 46. He went to God privately in prayer, Mark chapter 1, 35 through 37, but this is the one I want us to deal with. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 13, went over this in class. Friends, we have to know how to approach our Father. We have to know what to pray for. We need to humble ourselves when we're going through the distractions of life and we're paying so much attention to me that we're not paying attention to him. Leaders have to pay attention. Jesus paid attention. He taught his disciples how to pray and how to have the right mindset when they pray, when they approach the Father. Friends, we have to pay attention when we're praying. That we're not flippant in our prayer life. That we're not just blurting out words to our Father. That we're actually praying about things with substance. And again, as Brother Leon said in class, to just thank God. Every time we open up our mind and mouth to the Lord, it should not be, gimme, gimme, gimme. I remember when I was a kid and one of our siblings used to always say, well, give me this, give me this. And we used to say, gimme got his hand broke. Every time you turn around, gimme, 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 gimme. Get out of here. Well, when it comes to us and our relationship with our God, Father, I want to give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. Can you imagine the gratitude, the attitude? And it is true that your attitude determines your altitude. That is true. And so what should we be praying for? We ought to be praying for our spiritual health. We ought to be praying for wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, James 1 verse 5. We ought to be praying for one another. We ought to be praying that we become addicted to the ministry, to the work of the church. 1 Corinthians 16, 14 through verse number 17. We ought to be praying for those things that are spiritual. But we also ought to be praying for ourselves and praying for others when they're going through distressful times. We pray for one another. We encourage one another. Good leaders must pay attention in that. Finally, Jesus paid attention to progress. To progress? Oh, yeah. This is what I believe separates the spiritual from the carnal in the church. Because when we think of the word progress, it carries the idea of going forward or onward movement toward a destination. Jesus actually helped people to progress in life. Turn to Mark chapter 8. Verses 22 through verse number 26, I believe this is a great characteristic of a great man of God, great woman of God, great leader, whether in business, in the church, to help people progress, to see where they are, and I'm going to use this word very lightly, and the potential that they have. Because sometimes potential does not always equal actuality. Sometimes people live in the potential, Brother Chad, all the time. Well, he's a potential. But eventually, you got to get out of the potential and get in the actuality. Where are we? Where are we? So in Mark chapter 8, verses 22 to verse 26, Jesus, then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him, begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hand on him, he asked him if he saw anything. He put eye salve upon him, if you will. Revelation 3, verse number 18. And he looked up and noticed what the man said. I see men like trees walking. So it's obvious his vision wasn't clear. But it's better than where he was because he was a blind man, didn't see anything, Leon, but now he sees something. There's some progress there. It's progress. think about those who are dead in their sins, and you begin talking with them and studying with them and open up the Word of God, and they get to see Christ living in you, the hope of glory, and the light begins to unfold in their mind. They're beginning to be enlightened, Ephesians 1:18. Things are starting to open up. You see progress. You see a change in language, a change in attitude, a change in lifestyle. They're not a Christian yet, but you see change taking place. At least they're not going backwards. They're going forward, going toward Christ, not going further back toward the devil. He said, well, do you see men? I see men as trees walking. So what did Jesus do? Then he put his hand on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Some false teachers say, well, see, Jesus couldn't even heal this blind man the first time. That's not the point. The point is that at times, even when you think of God's revelation, it was progressive in nature. God didn't give all of his word at one time, in one point, for one people. He gave it over a span of time. This is the point. Even when we think of people and they're progressing, they're getting better, it takes progress, it takes time. Good leaders pay attention that when they see just a little bit of progress, they feed on that and they move with that and they work with them. That's right. Not because I'm not where you think I need to be right now. You get kids, you'll see that. You've had kids, you know that. When you deal with people, you understand that. And everyone moves at their pace depending on what's going on in their mind and the distractions and the things they got to come out of. Got to pay attention. Everybody's not on the same level. Same understanding. Everyone can't rule the same amount of people. They don't have the discipline. They don't have the know-how. They don't have all of that. But if they do, then they can work that through. And so here we see this progressive envision, if you will. And that's a beautiful thing. Jesus helped this man progress in his vision. And he was able to see clearly. Look at Mark chapter 12, a couple chapters over. Look at verses 28 through 34. Jesus acknowledged progress. I know some men. They can see progress in you, won't say nothing. Won't give you an attaboy. Won't say keep growing. Keep doing well. You're doing good. Don't give no accolades. I heard a man literally in the church say, I don't give accolades. Be nice, Mike. I'm trying. But that's wrong as two left shoes. Because if someone's doing better than what they were yesterday, somebody ought to say, good job. Keep it up. Keep going in that direction. But that same individual don't mind telling you when you're going in the other direction. Something wrong with that. Get back to your lesson, Mike. I'm trying. Sometimes I have conversations up here to y'all who are visiting. I'm not crazy. I just look like this. In Mark chapter 12, 28 through 34, look what Jesus did. He acknowledges progress. Here comes a scribe. He comes up to him. He's talking with him. Have conversation. The scribe asks Jesus questions. Jesus says something that's very powerful in verse number 32. So the scribe said to him, Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth. For there is one God and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now, when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, notice what he says, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Hold on. Jesus acknowledged this man where he was. The progress that he made, is nothing wrong with acknowledging progress and letting people know you're on the right track. You're doing good. You're not far from it. Keep it up. There's nothing wrong with that. that man had the nerve to say, I don't give out accolades. Wow. And you're a Christian? You're not reading your Bible. And if you are, you're not understanding it. Because even our God, through his people, keep it up. Keep striving. Keep going forward. Keep doing what's right. Keep leaving sin alone. Keep evaluating your life. Keep doing that which is true. You keep it up. Friends, if the world can know it through coaching, if the world can know it through mentoring, they got it from somewhere, Dietrich, they got it from the Bible, the Word of God. We encourage one another. Like, I want to encourage everyone right now, why don't you smile? Just smile. You might feel better about yourself. You might feel better about the world you live in. You might even feel better about going home and being with God today. I leave you with this. Jesus, he even saw progress completed. Look at Luke chapter 7. Remember, Jesus, when he came looking for something. A centurion who understood authority had a servant, and that servant was near unto death. But he didn't even want Jesus to come to his house, didn't see himself worthy of that. And he just told Jesus, just say the word in verse number 7, and my servant will be healed. Jesus, he was just blown away. There are only on two occasions where Jesus marveled. This is one of them. When you look at verse number 8 and 9, or verse 9 rather, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. You know what that implies? It implies that he was looking for faith, and he finally found it. He found what he was looking for. And so what did he do? He paid attention. He saw that this man had exactly what I was sent to look for, and he acknowledged it. Friends, we have to pay attention when we see people coming. Man, let's give them that encouragement. Study the Word of God with them. Give them a passage or two to go consider. When we see people actually doing what God says, man, we ought to be right there with them. Say, man, keep it up. And if anything I can help you with, or you can even help me with, send me a passage. Send me some things to ponder. Pray for me. Let's pray right now. Leon is always, I'm not trying to embarrass you, young man, but sometimes we're here at the building. Mr. Bonner, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. Is there anything I can pray for you? Yeah, I need this. Well, let's pray right now. That's encouraging. But it also relinquishes him of happening to remember it later. Yes. Yes. You know, we pray. We tell people, hey, I'm praying for you. And then you see him the next time. Hey, man, I appreciate you praying for me. And in your mind, just keep it up, brother. So guess what I try to do? Pray for me. Let's pray now. Because when you get married, Leon, and you got all these other distractions that are good, you forget. You forget. So it's best, like, let me do this right now. Right now, right now. Because I don't want you asking me later, did you pray for me? And I really didn't. So we end with that. Let's pay attention. And it doesn't matter how young we are, teach your children to pay attention. Spouses, pay attention to one another. Brethren, pay attention to one another. As leaders, we got to pay attention to the flock. Flock, pay attention to the leadership, because sometimes we don't do what's right. And we need someone that's going to love us enough to say, hey, you probably need to look at that. And it's okay. Again, there's nothing wrong with being wrong. It's staying wrong. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer, and I'll offer the invitation. Holy God and Father in heaven, so thankful for your son that paid close attention to you. Loved you so much that he did everything that you said. Father, I ask that you help us to follow him because we know that he obeyed you. Help us always strive for righteousness. Forgive us when we sin against thee and we rebel against you, Father, when we know to do good and we don't do it. Be merciful unto us, patient with us. But Father, when we turn around, when we do that which is right, help us to forgive ourselves that we can move forward and be a source of encouragement for one another. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to consider, pay attention to the gospel plan of salvation. The gospel is God's power to save mankind, Romans 1, 16, 17. And without the gospel, no one can be saved. But what is the gospel? It is the death, the burial, the resurrection, the appearance of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8, the kingdom of God, Mark 1, 14 and 15. It's so important to obey the gospel. Why? Because of this one gospel? Because of it being God's power to save? It's the only way you can approach God. It's having your sins washed away by the gospel of Jesus Christ and the blood of Christ. And when you come in contact with that blood, Hebrews 9, 14, then he cleanses your conscience from dead works. Now you can come before him in service. Don't you want to be a Christian that you can pay closer attention to your Father? That you can pay closer attention to the Word of God? That you can be intentional? Don't you want to obey the gospel? Maybe a child of God, you haven't been paying attention. You haven't been paying attention at home. You haven't been paying attention to the Word. You haven't been paying attention here at the congregation. You just haven't been paying attention. It happens. It happens. Friends, we have to be people who pay attention. And when we do that, God will bless us. And we'll be able to see things in our lives clearly over time. Brother Chad, as we stand and as we sing, our Savior's invitation.